Jesus. Thank you, Emily.
Amen.
You know, I'm so thankful for what God is doing in the life of His people.
Yes,
Emily's one of our college students. She'll be heading back to the university this afternoon. I hope you'll be in prayer for all of our young people. You know, they grow up here and we teach them about faith, and they go off to school and they have these learned, educated people that try to tear down their faith. And I just thank God for people like Emily that are being used of her to tell the story of Jesus and His love. If you look inside your bulletin, you'll find an outline of today's message. I'm going to ask all that are able to please stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. The theme for our series, The Goodness of God, is Psalm 100 and verse 5. For the Lord is always good. He is always loving and kind. And His faithfulness goes on and on to each succeeding generation. And then for the past 8 weeks, we've been looking at Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me, Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. And then our text for today, if you would read it along with me, verse 5. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of mine enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Let us pray. Gracious God, Lord, I thank You for the blood of Jesus Christ that saves us. I thank You, God, for the blood of Jesus Christ that gives us victory. But Lord, I pray that today, that the sheep of Your flock will understand that there can be victory every day by the anointing of the Holy Spirit on us and in us, working through us. Lord, may we understand what that means today. God, may we desire it, may we seek it, may we ask for it, and God, may You give it. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Very large man immigrated to the United States. He was about 6'9", weighed about 350 pounds. He's a big man. John was his name. He spoke poor English, and he went to get on the bus. And when he got on the bus, he said to the bus driver, "Big John, no pay." Well, the bus driver's about 5'3", thin, mild, and meek. Well, he didn't like it, but he didn't say anything about it. The next day, Big John was back at the bus stop. "Big John, no pay." He didn't say a word. Just let him on. This went on for months. This little bus driver, he got frustrated by it. He said, "I'm going to have to do something about this." So he took in some classes on bodybuilding and karate and judo and self-confidence. And when he felt like he was strong enough, he was ready. Big John came on the bus and said, "Big John, no pay." And that little bus driver stood up and said, "And why not?" Well, Big John looked at him, was all puzzled, and he said, "Because Big John got bus pass." Do you feel like there's some big things in your life that you're having a hard time dealing with? Well, I've got good news for you. You don't need to take a class. What you need instead is the anointing of God upon your life. and you'll be able to face whatever obstacle comes your way. Now, today when we think about anointing, I'm primarily going to be talking about the anointing of God. But there's another kind of anointing, and that's the anointing of man. And we're going to talk about both of them, all right? But notice here, that when you're anointed by God, it is internal. God does something supernatural in your life. He will supernaturally give you a strength, a power, an ability, a protection, a healing that you can't get any other way. Now, when we talk about the anointing of man, what we're talking about is when mankind takes oil, places their hand upon you, and prays over you that the spiritual anointing of God will take place in your life. But when man anoints you with oil, it is only a symbol of what God can do. Because you see, oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. Okay? And so I want you to understand that, because at the end of this service, we're going to give you an opportunity to be anointed by man. But it is only a symbol. There's not magic in the oil. There's nothing magic in our hands. But God blesses faith and obedience. So with that in mind, I want to start off by sharing with you six truths about God's anointing. Number one, when God appoints me, He anoints me. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. Did you notice when God calls you, when God appoints you, He will do whatever it is He's called you to do in your life. That is, He will empower you and enable you to do whatever it is God's called you to do. God called you to be a pastor, guess what? He'll give you the ability to do that. But not everybody's called to be a pastor. You see, everybody in here has a calling in their life. God might be calling you to be a nurse. God might be calling you to be an educator. God might be calling you to be a firefighter. God might be calling you to be a businessman. Whatever God calls you to do, He anoints you and gives you the power to do whatever it is. Is there a ministry that God has called you to do? Working with preschoolers or senior adults or working with teenagers or doing music. Whatever it is that God has called you to do, He will give you the power to do it. Now today I'm going to use one person over and over as an example, because it's very easy to see the anointing of God in their life. The person I'm going to be talking about today is a guy by the name of David Green. David Green is the founder of Hobby Lobby, okay? But what I want you to know about David is his mom and dad were pastors, okay? And they were always pastors of small churches in rural areas out in the Midwest, mostly with farmers. They grew up poor. He said, you know, sometimes they were months when they had no meat on their table to eat at all. But said every day his mom and dad prayed for their six children, that they would grow up and become pastors or missionaries. David Green's six siblings are all pastors or missionaries, except him. Well, he was a huge disappointment to his parents. But he said, you know, I felt God calling me to be a merchant. God calling me to be a businessman. God didn't call me to be a pastor or a missionary. Now, as I go along and unfold the story today, what I think you're going to see is God has anointed David Green, and he's done more for the kingdom of God than his five siblings that are pastors and missionaries as a businessman. And what I'm trying to get you to say is what has God called you to do? Has God called you to be a Christian parent? If that's what God's called you to do, that's what you need to be. If God's called you to be a Christian homemaker, that's what you need to be. That's God's calling on your life. But whatever He's called you to do, you will not do it effectively without the anointing of God on your life. Just won't do it. Acts 1:8, But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Do you understand that the first assignment to the church was something they couldn't do? Take the gospel to all the ends of the earth. I mean, how do you take the gospel from the Middle East to Australia? I mean, they're not going to invent airplanes for another 1,900 years. How are you going to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to America? Do you understand that God was telling them to do something that they were not physically capable of doing? But you see, God can do what you cannot do. And so he said, my spirit will come upon you and you will have the power to do that. I remember when I was 19 years old that I felt God had called me into the ministry. But one of the first things that I said was, there's no way I can be a pastor. God's called me into the ministry. I might be a minister of education. I might be a minister of youth. I might be a minister of evangelism. There's no way I'm be a pastor. That's just not in the works. Well, I was a minister of youth for 13 months. I've been a pastor for 38 years. You see, whatever God appoints you to do, God will anoint you and give you the ability to do. But see, when the call of God came upon my life, it was, God, I can't do that. But God can do that in you and through you. Number two, God's anointing makes me a better person. You need the anointing of God on your life to be a better person. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 1, then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on Saul's head and kissed him, saying, has not the Lord anointed you leader over his inheritance? He is anointing Saul to be the king of Israel, the very first king. But I want you to know Saul felt inadequate to do this. The Bible says Saul was a head and shoulders taller than any other man. You think he's this great big strapping fella? He'd just be full of confidence, right? He felt inadequate. When they went to crown him to be the king of Israel, he was hiding. He was hiding in the luggage. He was hiding with the baggage. Let me tell you why. He felt like, God, I can't do this. I can't do this. This is too big for me. But then notice in verse 6 and 7 of the same chapter. This is beautiful. The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you in power. What is that? That's the anointing of God. And you will prophesy with them, and you will be changed into a different person. Once these signs are fulfilled, do whatever your hands find to do, for God is with you. Do you understand what God was telling Saul? My power is going to come upon you. My anointing is going to come upon you. And when it does, it's going to change you. And whatever you do with your hands, God is going to bless what you do. Remember a while ago, I told you that David Green felt called to be a businessman? I just want you to see how unlikely that is. You see, David Green wasn't very good in school. He struggled in school. As a matter of fact, he failed the seventh grade and had to repeat it. He got his first job working in a five and dime making 60 cents an hour. And then God's calling him to be a businessman. You know, God, I'm not very good at math. God, you know, I'm not very good at books. God, you know, I'm not very good at this stuff. But God's calling him to be a businessman. And when he started off, he was so broke, he borrowed $600, Kathy. $600 to buy equipment to make picture frames. And he paid his children 7 cents apiece to make them. And now he has 800 stores, 32,000 employees, and David Green has twice as much money as Donald Trump. But he felt so inadequate to do what he felt like God would. God, you calling me to be a businessman? I'm not very bright. I'm not very smart. I didn't do very good in school. And now he's a multi-billionaire. Number three, God's anointing makes the difficult task easier. In Ephesians 3:16, I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources, God will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. I want you to underline unlimited resources. You see, the problem is, you only have so much wisdom. You only have so much knowledge. You have only so much strength. You can only do so much, but God is unlimited in His knowledge and His wisdom and His power and His ability. See, you can't do it, but God can do it in and through you. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do everything with the help of Christ who gives me strength. I want you to circle the word everything. What can you do? Everything. But how are you able to do everything? It is the anointing of God upon your life. Do you have God's anointing on your life? Is God's anointing upon your family? Is God's anointing upon your marriage? Is God's anointing upon your ministry? Is God's anointing upon you on your job? Young people, is God's anointing on you at school? Well, how can you tell? Well, are you tired all the time? Don't raise your hand, but how many of you say, man, I'm just tired all the time. I go and I run and I'm just tired all the time. If you're tired all the time, let me tell you what that means. The anointing of God's not on your life. Let me tell you why that's so. You're trying to solve all these problems. You're trying to accomplish all of these tasks. You're trying to overcome all of these challenges in your power, in your strength, and it is wearing you out. But see, if you're doing it in the power of God, and God's hand and anointing is upon you, you don't get wore out. You get filled up and overflowing and running with the power and presence of God in your life. Now, my question to you this morning is simple. Are you running off adrenaline or are you running off of anointing? Now, see, that adrenaline will kick in and it'll give you a burst of energy. But when that adrenaline rush falls off, you have a collapse. The anointing of God doesn't do that to you. By the way, what is Jesus' full name? Would you say that His full name is the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you understand today that Christ is not Jesus' last name? If they had a phone book in Hebrew, you wouldn't turn to the C's to find Jesus' phone number. For example, if you call the church office and you speak to Tracy, she says, well, I'll call Pastor Dennis. Well, you understand that Pastor's not my first name. Dennis is not my last name. Jesus Christ. Jesus is His name. Christ is who He is. Christ is from the Greek word Christos. It's the same word in Hebrew called Messiah. Go look it up. You know what Messiah or Christ means? It means the anointed one. Think about it. The person who has done more to change the whole world is the one anointed of God. Jesus, the Christ. Jesus, the anointed one. Number four, God's anointing makes the possible, makes the impossible possible. In Luke 18:27, Jesus replied, what is impossible for people is possible with God. I want to ask you something. What are you facing today that's impossible? Some of you may be facing a health issue that's impossible. Some of you may be facing an issue in your marriage or with your children or with your finances, and it's like there's absolutely no way out. Well, what is impossible with you is possible with God. But that only happens with the anointing of God. In Ephesians 3:20, with God's power working in us, God can do much, much more than anything we can ask or imagine. What can you imagine? I don't want you to think about it. In your marriage, what could you ask God for that would be big? In your business, What can you ask for that God would think big? He said, anything that you can ask for, anything that you imagine, God says, I can top that. I can top that. God can do the impossible. Again, I want to come back to our analogy talking about David Green. When the Congress passed and Barack Obama signed into law the Affordable Health Care Act, affectionately called Obamacare, one of the provisions of Obamacare was is if you have more than 50 employees, you are mandated to supply health care that is affordable. Well, with 32,000 employees, that includes them. One of the provisions was you had to provide contraceptives for women's reproductive rights. Part of the stipulation included what is called the morning after pill, many times referred to as the abortion pill. David Green in Hobby Lobby said, we will not do it. Our values of human life, our Christian conviction says we cannot provide a pill that causes abortions. We can't do it. Well, the fine is based on your number of employees. So they came back and said, you will do this or we will fine you $1.3 million per day. If you are a businessman, by the way, Hobby Lobby is independently owned by David Green. It's not a corporation. There are no shareholders. It is not traded on the stock market. It's just a family business worth about $7.4 billion. What are you going to do? They said, we're not going to do it. And they challenged it in court. Now get this, the American Civil Liberties Union was against them. Planned Parenthood was against them, okay? AARP was against them. 90% of the American Congress of gynecologists and obstetricians were against Hobby Lobby. But I'm here to tell you, in 2012, when it went before the Supreme Court ruled in favor of Hobby Lobby 5-4, and you and I won a great day for religious liberty that day in court because one man who was called of God to be a businessman took a stand that affected all of America. You see, what is impossible with man is possible with God if the anointing of God is upon you. Number five, God anoints my life to bless others. You see, if you just want the anointing of God because you want them Holy Ghost bumps up on the back of your neck, you want that quiver in your liver, God's not going to anoint you. God's going to anoint you not for you to feel good. God's going to anoint you so you can bless other people. Notice here what it says in Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. What is that? That's anointing. Because the Lord has anointed me to bring the good news. Now notice here, six different types of common suffering. See if you can spot all six. The good news to the suffering and afflicted. That's two of them. He sent me to comfort the brokenhearted. To announce liberty to the captives. To open the eyes of the blind. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of God's favor to them has come. He will give beauty for ashes, joy instead of mourning, praise instead of heaviness. By the way, did you know that when Jesus preached his first public recorded sermon, he took this passage as his text? And when he read that, he said, now, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your presence. In other words, Jesus said, I have been anointed to do all of these things. God wants to anoint you so that you can in turn bless other people. Help those that are addicted, that are captive, to be set free. Help those that are brokenhearted to be healed. To help those who have physical needs to be satisfied. To help those that suffer to be comforted. God anoints you to do those things. Now, I made a bold statement a while ago that God had used David Green more than his five siblings that are pastors and missionaries. Well, that's a pretty subjective statement. How do I back that up? Here's what I want you to know. David Green and Hobby Lobby give 50%. 50%. Of their pre-tax profit to Christian causes. Pre-tax, 50%. What does that translate into? So far, David Green and Hobby Lobby have distributed 1.4 billion Bibles in the world. Now, these 1.4 billion Bibles have gone into over 100 different countries in 144 different languages. Not only that, but do any of you actually have the YouVersion Bible app on your tablet or your phone? Hobby Lobby and David Green sponsored that project. And what that project has done is it's put 1,074 different versions and languages of the Bible on the internet for free download. And over 300 million people use it to read the Scripture. Brother Tim, you'll be fascinated with this. In November of last year, at the sponsorship of Hobby Lobby and David Green, the Museum of the Bible opened in Washington, D.C. It is the largest museum in Washington, D.C. A museum to the Bible. I mean, it's bigger than the one by the Arts and Sciences. It's bigger than the Smithsonian. All of it because God called one man to be a businessman. He heard the call, and God has anointed his life. Number six. Stay with me. This here may be the most important part. Number six. For every new challenge, I need a fresh anointing. Every new challenge, I need a fresh anointing. Notice here, yesterday's anointing is insufficient for today's tasks, challenges, and problems. In Psalm 92, verse 10, we read, "But my horn," that is the emblem of excessive strength and stately grace, "but my horn, you," that's God, "have exalted like that of a wild ox. I am anointed with fresh oil." You need a fresh anointing of God for every challenge that you face. Why is that? Because you leak. That is, God pours His blessings, God pours His power, God pours His presence into your life. But you see, you are a broken person. You live in a broken world, and God pours it in. But guess what? We leak it out. And so I need a fresh anointing in my life. But not only that, I need a fresh anointing because sometimes it's not that I leak it, sometimes I lose it. How do you lose the anointing of God? Let me tell you some ways. Your pride will cause you to lose the anointing of God. I mean, why would you get all puffed up and proud? Well, look what I've done. Look what I'm going to do. That's not depending upon God. That's depending upon you. Pride causes you to lose the anointing of God. Jealousy causes it. Unforgiveness causes it. Fear causes it. Doubt causes you to lose the anointing of God. And so you need a fresh anointing in your life. You know, God will teach you things if you'll pay attention. See, some of you are facing difficulties, going through hard times, and God's trying to teach you stuff, and you're just not listening. You see, you ask God, "Why is this happening?" Wrong question. You need to be asking, "God, what are you trying to teach me?" Because God's trying to teach you something. Brother Ken, I remember in my first church, I'm so excited, so pumped up for Jesus. We're going to win the world to Christ in 6 months, okay? I was ready to charge hell with a water pistol. I mean, everything that God was doing was just exciting. The church is growing. People's being saved. God is blessing. And I remember one week I went into my study and I got to studying. And you know what? I got proud. Oh, man, God, this is good. Oh, man, I'm telling you what. If Billy Graham was in the audience, he'd be jealous. I'm telling you, God, this could be the best sermon I've ever preached. I can't wait to preach it. Let me tell you what happened that Sunday. I got up there and opened up my Bible, took out my notes, and I started to preach. You know what God did? God just reached over and took his hand right off of me. Just took his hand right off of me. And I was just stuck out there all by myself. God wasn't moving. God wasn't directing. God wasn't moving on the hearts of the people. God wasn't moving in my life. And so you know what? I felt like, well, I got to do something. So you know what I did? I got loud. And then I pounded on the pulpit. And let me tell you what that did. Paul, it just made it worse. It just made it worse. And by the time I got through that sermon, I thought, oh, God, just help me to land this plane. God, help me get out of here. I wanted to tuck my head up under my knees and sneak out the back door. I was so ashamed. And let me tell you what the first thing I did. I got off by myself and I said, God, I am sorry. God, please forgive me. Let me tell you what I discovered early on is you need a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. Listen, God may have come down on your heart last week. That won't do you any good today. You need a fresh anointing of God. Why is that? You can't store up the anointing of God. In Exodus 16, verse 19, verse 20, then Moses told him, do not keep any of it until morning. But some of them didn't listen and kept some of it till the morning. But by then it was full of maggots and had a terrible, nasty smell. What are we talking about? We're talking about manna. You see, they're out in the desert, and God said, I'm going to feed you with bread from heaven, manna. And he said, every day it's going to be out there. You go out there and pick up what you need for that day. And every day I'm going to supply what you need. And so, but now, whatever you don't use, throw it out because I'm going to supply something new and fresh in the morning. Well, guess what? Some of them didn't trust God. And so what did they do? They went out and got more than they needed. They stored it up in case God didn't show up the next day. If the bread didn't come down from heaven the next day, they'd still have some. But let me tell you what they found out in the morning. It was rotted. It was stinking. And here's what God said. Every day you will have enough for that day. Except the day before the Sabbath. On the day before the Sabbath, get twice as much because on the Sabbath day, don't go out there and gather any bread because there won't be any. And guess what? They go out there the day before the Sabbath, they got twice as much. The next morning, it wasn't rotten. It wasn't spoiled. But when they went out, guess what? There wasn't any on the ground. God supplied what they needed when they needed it for when they needed it. And you and I, we cannot store up the anointing of God. We need a fresh anointing of God every day. One preacher called on one of his deacons to pray. And he was praying. He said, dear God, would you please unctionize our pastor? Well, the pastor didn't know how to take that. And afterwards, he came up to him and he said, Brother Jones, what did you mean by unctionize our pastor? By the way, unctionize is another word for anoint. And he said, Pastor, I'm not really sure what it is, but whatever it is, you ain't got it. What was he trying to say? He was trying to say, Pastor, you need a fresh anointing from God. Guess what? Mom, you need a fresh anointing from God. Dad, you need a fresh anointing from God. Whoever you are and whatever God has called, you need a fresh anointing from God. Now, I want to give you two examples of how God can work and move in your life. Number one is God anoints your business. God anoints your work. God anoints what you do. In Genesis 39, verse 2, the Lord greatly blessed Joseph. So everything he did succeeded. Let me ask you about Joseph? What did God call him to do? Was he a prophet? Was he a priest? No. He was an administrator. God blessed everything he did. I want to give you an example of how the anointing of God can work even in the secular world. How the anointing of God can work on your job. There's a young boy named John D. Rockefeller. Grew up in a poor home. His first job was delivering newspapers. But at an early age, his mother led him to Christ and he became a Christian. Started going to church, started serving God. The church that he was going to got into financial trouble. And at only 21 years of age, he raised enough money to keep their church from going into foreclosure. He wasn't a preacher, he wasn't a pastor, he wasn't a missionary. He went to work at this place as a clerk, saved up his money, bought some things, saved up his money, bought some more things. And when John D. Rockefeller was 55 years old, he retired and spent the next 40 years giving away his money. It has been estimated that John D. Rockefeller is the richest man who has ever lived in modern times. You may not know much about him because he's dead now, but he became the founder of Standard Oil, later called Esso. You call it Exxon today. But he cornered the market on the oil business and the refinery business so that he owned 90% of all the oil and all the refineries in America. He became so rich and so powerful that the government passed an antitrust law and busted up Standard Oil for being a monopoly. But get this, John D. Rockefeller was so wealthy that he had to loan the federal government money to keep the federal government from defaulting. It has been estimated that John D. Rockefeller has given away more money than anybody who has ever lived. Now, how do you describe how all of this happened in his life? Well, if you had asked John D. Rockefeller, he would have simply said, you know what, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I tried to follow Jesus Christ. He blessed what I did. He anointed what I did. And what I'm trying to tell you is, whether you're stocking groceries at Food Lion or you're a cashier at Walmart or whatever it is you do, you can ask and receive the anointing of God on your work and your business so that God can turn around and use that to bless all the people around you. And the last thing I want you to see is that God anoints your body. Remember I said God does it, but we have a part in it. James 5, verse 14 and 15. If you're sick, ask the church leaders to come and pray for you. Ask them to put olive oil on you in the name of the Lord. And if you have faith when you pray for sick people, they will get well. The Lord will heal them. And if they have sinned, He will forgive them. The Bible says if you have a need, call for the elders. Let them anoint you with oil. Let them lay hands on you. Let them pray for you. And whether it's a spiritual need or whether it's a physical need, if you have faith, God will bless. What are we talking about here? We're talking about the anointing of God. And in a moment, when we have the invitation, I've asked Delia and Gary, they're going to be over here. Trace and I are going to be right here. Ken and Lucille are going to be over here. And in a moment, we have the invitation. I'm going to ask you to get up, come forward, and to ask God to anoint your life. You may have a sickness that you want God to heal. It may be a physical sickness. It may be an emotional issue that you need healing. It may be a relationship that you need to have healed in your life. But if you need healing, I want you to come. Say, all right, God, I want you to anoint me for healing. It may not be that. It may be for power. You may need power as a parent. You may need divine power as a spouse. You may need power to do ministry. And so you just come and say, I want to be anointed to receive the power of God in my life. Well, you see, David was a shepherd, and he would anoint the sheep. And he anointed the sheep and he anointed their head to protect them from the parasites and from the flies. And so you might come this morning and say, I want to be anointed for protection. I feel like the enemy has come against me and I need God's anointing to protect me. Okay? We're going to do that in a moment. All right, so I'm going to ask you to get up and come down this side. Like I said, Ken and Lucy will be over there. Come down the middle. Tracy and I will be here. Come down this side. And Delia and Gary's going to be over here. But I want to say this. There's no power in our hands. There's no power in the oil. It won't matter if Ken anoints you or if Delia anoints you or if I anoint you. You see, the point of it is it's just a symbol of what we're asking God to do. You say, well, why can't I just do that in my seat? Well, you see, God blesses faith and obedience. God says, call the elders, have been anointed with oil, and to believe. You see, you're obedient. God says, do it this way, you do it that way. You believe, and then God does it. Now, folks, let me tell you, it's not a magic potion. I remember one time I was at another church. We were having a service similar to this, and I had an elderly woman come down, and she's all bent over, and she said, I want you to pray, God. I want to be anointed with oil for my back. My back is killing me. She's 80-some years old. We set that chair out there. We got out the oil. We anointed her, and we got through praying her. I'm telling you, Miss Daisy Monroe come out of that seat, a shout and praising God. She said, God has healed me. God has touched me. I felt Him when He did it. I mean, instantaneously, she was healed right there on the spot. Another fellow came down. He said, you know what? My back's bothering me. He says, my whole right side is numb. I can't feel anything in my fingers. We anointed him with oil. We prayed over him. He got up. Nothing happened. He came back the next week, the Sunday, and he said, you want me to tell you what? He said, you prayed over me. Nothing happened. The next day, I felt a little tingling in my arm. The next day, I felt a little tingling in my elbow. And he said, before the week was out, he said, I had all the feeling back in my hand. You see, one of them, it happened, boom, instantly. The other one, it took a week for it to happen. And there was another guy. He was a truck driver. He was in a bad wreck. His back was messed up. We laid hands on him. We anointed him. We prayed for him. He never got any better. Folks, it was the same people that prayed. It was the same oil. God just had a different will for each person's life. I'm just trying to tell you, there's nothing magic about what we're going to do today. It's all about faith and obedience. God said, do this, believe me, and I will show up. So what we're going to do in a moment is we're going to have an invitation. And we'll bow our heads. Ken and Lucille, if you'll come over here. Gary and Dee, you come over here. Tracy, if you'll join me right down here. I've got a chair here. We'll pull it out. And when I get through praying, if you want to be anointed and prayed over, I'm going to ask you to come. Now, folks, this won't work if you try to come up and have group therapy at the altar. Don't come up here and tell us every ache and pain you have. You just need to simply come up and say, I want to be anointed for physical healing. I need to be anointed for emotional healing. I need to be anointed for relational healing. I need to be anointed for power. I need to be anointed for protection. Just a simple, this is what I need. If you want to give us a medical history, this is not going to work. Everybody understand what we're doing? All right, I'm going to ask you to bow your head. Nobody's looking around. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I'm claiming the promise of your word that you anoint our head with oil and our cup overflows with blessing. And God, as we come, I admit today that there's nothing, there's no power in our hands. There's no power in this olive oil. But God, there is power in the name of Jesus Christ. There is power when the Holy Spirit comes on the people of God. And Father, I pray that as we have a time of invitation, that the Holy Spirit would do the inviting. And that people would come today for a fresh anointing, for healing, for power, for protection. God, may we not do it out of show. May we not do it because somebody else does it. May we not do it but for any other reason. Except, God, we believe what you said. We stand on your word. And we're going to obey it. Lead us now, God, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.